Morning. Thank you. Make you famous. I don't need to be famous. I just, I want to help people. That's what I want to do. In whatever way God calls me to that. That's a lot of different things, and we'll talk about that a little bit today. But yeah, like Lisa said, I've been around here a little more than 20 years, and that's crazy to me. And she's right. I came here as a 15-year-old with a boy that was going to church here at the time. And so, and then once I got here, all situations changed, but I never left. And of course, later on, then I got married, and my husband's here too. And so we just celebrated 18 years of marriage. So, that's weird. You guys will get to that point in your life and you'll be like, oh my Lanta, where did the time go? Because being a teen seems like a lifetime ago and like yesterday all at the same time. And it's weird that that happens like that. Man, I've been thinking a lot about the plan of God in my life and the course and the adventure and all of those things that go on. Because, you know, like I shared a little bit with you, I've kind of been in a little bit of a life transition the past couple years. I didn't get to be here last year because I was in the middle of some testing for work and opened up a business last year. And so a lot of my focus has been on that, and a lot of my focus is still on that. But in a step of faith, I said, okay, I'm still just going to come to youth camp this year because, one, I can't miss 2 years. I just can't do it. And second, I'm just going to have to trust the Lord to work out that side while I'm here because, man, do I just love you guys like crazy. And it's crazy. So I'm here, and so that's really exciting. So I've been thinking about, you know, the course that God set for me, and I've been thinking about what the course is God set for you. And that's exciting to me to be on the path that God has called you to be, and it should be exciting to you. But I can also understand that sometimes it's really frightening, too, because you're not quite sure what the next step is. And it's taken that step without seeing the whole staircase a lot of the time. Most of the time, all the time. So our theme in our scripture this week is set your course to adventure. And several months ago, Lynn was speaking here on a Sunday morning. It might have even been the New Year's service. And he just said that in passing, set your course to adventure. He said it. And it resonated in my mind. And so I typed it in the notes on my phone in like January. And so then camp meetings came around a month or two later, and so I said, you know, Lynn said this like a month ago, and so I really like that theme, and we should do this directional maps and all that kind of thing. And so we talked about that, and, you know, some other people kind of had that idea, and so it ended up working out. But, you know, we say things sometimes just in passing, not really thinking that it matters or that any of that. But let me tell you, and trust me when I say that every word that comes out of your mouth, someone's listening to. And it may just resonate with them just like that resonated with me. So don't ever doubt the words that God has put in your mouth to speak to the people that are around you. Never doubt that. So the scripture that we're using this week is Isaiah 30:21. And it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Has anyone ever heard that voice? Anyone in the room? Has anyone ever wished they could hear that voice? You know, because we have a lot of different points in our lives where sometimes we might feel like we're really on track. I know I'm doing what I'm called to do. I know that I'm on the path that I'm supposed to be on. And then other times you're thinking, I don't know what I'm doing. Where's the voice? Where's the voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk in it? And that's a lot of that staircase, or that a lot of that step that you take that you can't see the whole staircase. It's being on the path that he's called you to, even in the quiet times. I love the way that Pastor Neil was talking about the God of the process. I've thought about that a lot over the years, but I never quite had a word, a term for it like that, the God of the process. I love that. Because, man, it's tough sometimes to trust God in the process, because a lot of the times within the process, we don't quite hear the voice as loudly. The process a lot of times looks like work. And so when we're in the middle of all the work that we're doing to achieve the goal that we have, we're not quite sure. Am I doing everything I need to be doing? Am I putting all the tools in place? Am I training the people that I need to train? Am I saying the words that I need to say? So the process a lot of times looks like work because it's the hard, trying time. So when I was talking with God a little bit about, okay, Lord, I'm back this year, and so, you know, I want to be able to talk to the campers this year and to share with them what you have for them. This is the thought that came into my head. And that is, the plan of God in your life will take you places that aren't even on the map yet. That's what I heard the Lord say for you guys. And I thought about that. We were gathering up all these maps and globes and all those things. That globe that's out in the foyer, my husband works in elementary school, and they were throwing it away. And so he brought it home. And because I'm married to Fred Sanford. If you don't know who that is, you can Google it later. But anyway, he brings this home. And so the first thing I thought about when I looked at that was, man, that thing's really old. You know, they must have, it's probably, you know, from the 80s or something. And so, but what I thought about was, there are places in this world that aren't even on that globe. If you look at any map in this room, I would be 99.9% sure when I tell you that you could probably go to that map and say, there's something else there now, where there's nothing on that map currently. Have you guys ever had your GPS in your car and you set it to take you somewhere and you get there and it doesn't look anything like what it said in the GPS? My GPS used to do that, would do that to me. If I put in an address specifically, it'll take me in the backwards way, and then it'll tell me I'm at like the 1200th block of something, except for really it brought me in the other way and I'm like, at, you know, the first block of it. And it thinks it's at the 1200. So there's places on the map that that God is calling you to that, man, you don't even know they're there yet. You know, you're going to blaze that trail to make that new place. That's going to be, that's the Kaysen destination on the map. That's the Dakota destination on the map. That's the Nathan destination on the map. That's where he's calling you to. And that's for everybody in this room. Because when I was thinking about that, I thought, oh, well, you know, that's for some people in the room. And the Lord said, no, that's for every one of them. Because wherever God's called you to be, he's called you specifically to be there. He needed you. He needs you to do that. Because here's the thing. Wherever it is he's called you to, other people around you have no idea what it takes from you to get there. There's a lot of things that you may be called to in life, or that I am called to in life, that the person next to me, they may find it very easy to journey to that destination, and it could just be like the snap of a finger, and they're good, and they're there. The difference is that where we're called to, that may have been a much harder journey for us to get there. Because, like Neil said last night, I'm a me too. All those things, me too. A little bit of anxiety, me too. A little bit of depression, me too. All those things. A little bit of some past situations, a little bit of family stuff, me too. All those things happen. You know what? And so you can't compare your journey to anybody else, because yours is yours, okay? And you've been called to that specific place, and no one can take that away from you, what you need to do to get there, okay? So don't compare yourself to other people when you're on your journey, because comparison is the thief of joy. It will take your joy, because you'll look at that other person and you'll say, well, then I must not be on the right journey, because this is really hard. I tell my husband a lot of times when we do things, why does this have to be so hard? Why? You know, things just are just so hard. And, you know, the Lord spoke to me in that last year because that was my mantra last year. Why does this have to be so hard? There, it came back. It's because God called me there, and he knew what it was going to take for me to get to that destination. And you know what? Once I'm there, even though it was really hard for me, and it may have been really easy for somebody else, once I'm there, then I'm a whole different person. What gets you to your destination makes you the person that he's calling you to be. Because you'll find that when the Lord calls you to something, he is constantly developing you into what he's called you to be. My 15-year-old self would not be standing here. I can tell you that. But there's been a series of events over the past a lot of years that have got me to this point where I'm able to stand up here and only get kind of red and only kind of a rash. So that's one of those things where, you know what, a lot of you in this room could probably stand up here all day and talk and it wouldn't matter to you, and you're not going to get a rash and you're not going to get hives or any of those types of things. But it's funny what God calls you to. Hey, let's call that girl to be the youth pastor and to stand in front of people, because she really enjoys that. So I do enjoy being with you guys. And so last year, our camp theme was Be Brave. Man, and there's been a lot of brave things going on in my head. Things that I never thought that I would do. There's going to be a lot of things that you do that are going to, they're going to need you to be brave. But can I tell you that living a brave life, it still may involve some fear. It still may involve all of those things that we have going on inside of our heads. But living a brave life is just doing something that you've never done before. That's all that it is. And so you do those things that he's called you to because I trust in a God and a God of the process that he wouldn't call me to anything that's going to hurt me. I trust that he's got my best interest at heart. I trust that I'm his favorite. Okay? I trust that you're his favorite. Because you are. If he had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. That's the kind of God that I trust with my life and the things that he's called me to. And that's the kind of God that you should trust too. Because I tell you what, if you'll trust him beyond your own fears and your own anxieties and your own limitations that you have in your head, if you trust him past those things, I can guarantee you that the things that he has for you in your life are so much bigger than you could ever imagine for yourself. Absolutely guarantee that. Because I'm living proof of that. Living proof. Neil took all my best lines last night. Sometimes life doesn't look like you want it to look like. You think like you're going to get to a certain time in your life or a certain place in your life, and you think it's going to look a certain way, and it doesn't. And so then you're like, okay, well then did I miss it? No, not necessarily. It just doesn't look like you thought it was going to look like. Life just gets messy and things happen. And anytime humans are involved, things just don't go as smoothly as you think they're going to go. This morning, I got up kind of early and just kind of wanted to have some quiet and to be able to think. And so I get up early and got ready, and I ran out to Sheets to get some coffee. And I had this vision in my head as I'm going through, and I'm sure that it was the Lord, because he's telling me this, you're in the quiet right now. And in the times in your life when it's quiet and you don't feel like you hear my voice, trust me that you're still in the process. And so I'm going through this whole thing this morning. It's quiet. I'm going through my routine, and I'm thinking of this as I'm going. So I go out and get my car, and I run out to Sheets to get some coffee. And I get into Sheets. You know, there's some people kind of milling around, not many people there, and nobody had talked to me. I hadn't really heard any voices yet today. And so I finally get up to the register, And I go to get my little Sheetz discount card out to give it to her. And when I do that, I pull my wallet out, and she says, first words I've heard of today. I was going to be all holy about it, but it isn't true. I'm going to tell you the actual true thing that happened. She said, is that a 31 wallet? That's a brand. And I said, yes, it is. I really like it. She said, I have a blue one. I really like it. First voice I heard today. But then the very next thing she said after she swiped my Sheetz card was, would you like to have your coffee free today? I would love to have my coffee free today. Yes. So trust the voices that you hear when God speaks to you. Because you know what? Sometimes there's voices, and they're going to like your wallet. They're going to like your stuff or whatever. Those are just voices. But if you trust God, he has all the good things for you. I mean, Jesus and free coffee are like, you know, my two favorite things. So it was funny to me that that all kind of played out this morning in the most perfect way. But you know what? There have been days where I've, like, wanted it to play out like that. But I get there, and it's like, I can't find my debit card in my purse. Or, I left it in my pants pocket or something like that. So there's days where, like, they don't go as well as that. But it was perfectly orchestrated this morning. Would you like to have your coffee free today? Love to. Please. So that was good. I loved it. And so we talk all about this plan and all of those things, and it's completely overwhelming because you're like, okay, well then if God has this plan for me and there's these great things that I'm to achieve in my life, where do I start? What do I do? What's the action plan, right? And that part of it's overwhelming. Does anyone else agree with that? That part overwhelms me sometimes. And so what I found is a goal without a plan is just an aspiration. It's just an idea. But once we get a plan in place to achieve the goal, then we've got something going, right? It's not just an idea. It's not just an aspiration. It's not just a thought in our heads. It wouldn't just be nice if we did that someday. I don't think Jeremy Morris will mind me sharing this, but the other day we were talking somewhere, and he said, my dream one day is to play Madison Square Garden. Where is Jeremy? Right there. You don't mind that I said that, right? Okay, I didn't figure you did. That's what he said. And he said it, and that's a goal, right? Okay? When he said that, I said, well, then do it. Do it. You know, a lot of people in your life will just do that then. Okay, but that's going to take a little bit of planning, right? You don't just walk up and they're just like, yeah, come on in. Not generally, anyway. But, you know, that might take a little bit of planning. But you know what? Do it. Because it's your goal to do that. And I think that's awesome. But keep in mind, when you have goals like that, you have to put a plan in place. And you know what? Sometimes it might not end up looking like you want it to look. But in the things God's called you to, you'll eventually be there. And you know, you have to enjoy that process, because if not, it's just crazy and you just have all kinds of anxiety about it. I heard in a meeting last year the phrase, action cures anxiety. Action cures anxiety. If you're nervous, if you're anxious about something that you need to do, if you aren't sure what your next step is, action will cure that. Even if it's just one small action a day to get you to the point where you want to be, what is your goal? Do you just want to, you know, where are you right now? You're in, you know, going into high school or whatever next year. Is your goal that you want to have a better year next year than you did this past year? Is your goal that you want to have better friendships than you had last year? Is your goal that, you know, you want something different in your life? Take one small action a day, and it doesn't have to be a big thing. Do you want to have a better school year next year? I have one good thing that you can do every day this summer that'll help you have a better school year next year, but you might not like it when I say it. Read, study, do all those things, okay? Because if you keep your mind moving throughout this summer, next year you'll be that much further ahead, right? You know, do you want to have better relationships? Do you want to have more friends? Do you want to have better friends? Be a good friend. You know, it seems small, but it's not. You know, be a good friend and you'll have better friends, right? Do you have friends right now that you're like, I don't know if I really should be around that friend anymore? I feel like maybe that's not a good friendship. Or I feel like maybe that might lead me down a path I shouldn't go. Or something like that. You know, kind of the action to cure that is you may have to kind of redirect your attention to some other things, maybe away from that person, okay? So small actions will get you to your goal. You know, what if you're going to college next year? Your goal is to get through college. Your goal is to graduate. Your goal is to get your degree. Your goal is to be part of your campus ministry, whatever that is. Take small actions. You want to be a better musician? How do you be a better musician? Practice. And you don't just practice until you get it right. You practice until you can't get it wrong, right? So a lot of times, the things that we need to do to get us to the goal, there's a quote that I'll share with you. And it's from Thomas Edison. If you don't know who that is, you can Google it later. I trust you all know who that is. And the quote is, "Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work." And I'm not talking about a works mentality of, you know, God only loves us if we do this certain work or any of those types of things. What I'm talking about is a grace-filled life that God has called you to, and because he's called you to it, you're taking the actions to make that go forward. Yep. Okay? Let me flip back. I skipped ahead on that one. So we know action cures anxiety. What doesn't cure it? Inaction. Doesn't cure it, not doing what it is that you need to do. Worry doesn't cure it. Doubt doesn't cure it. Fear doesn't cure it. None of those things cure it. But action will. And so at this time, Crystal has a video back there to play for me. And it's by Steve Harvey. He's one of my favorite preachers.
I'm the sheriff.
Preacher. But anyway, beginning of last year, I happened to stumble across this video on Facebook and watched it, and it was in the middle of a process I was going through and some decisions that I had to make, and it encouraged me. I hope it encourages you. It's like 6 minutes long, and then I don't have very much more after that, but if you guys would just watch this and enjoy.
I'm going to share something with you. I'm going to tell you something that every successful person has to do, including you. Believe it or not, every successful person in this world has jumped. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. You are going to have to jump. You cannot just exist in this life. You have got to try to live. If you are waking up thinking that it's got to be more to your life than it is, man, believe that it is. Believe in your heart of hearts that it is. But to get to that life, you're going to have to jump. I'll tell you why I call it jumping. See, God, when he created all of us, he gave every last one of us a gift at birth. He never created a soul without endowing them with a gift. You just got to quit looking at gifts as running, jumping, singing, dancing. It's more than that. It's if you know how to network, if you can connect dots, if you draw, if you teach. Some of y'all fry chicken better than anybody else, bake pie. Some of you cut hair, color hair. Some people do grass. I got a partner, man. We never wanted to go out with us because we stayed out too late. Come on, man, go out with us. Now I got to get up early, mom, cutting Miss Johnson's grass. We kept laughing at this dude, cutting grass. How much they pay you? He got a landscaping company in Cleveland worth $4 million. Because all he do is cut grass. But he was gifted at it. I got a partner on a detail shop, make $800,000 a year detailing cars. He got 6 mobile trucks running around. $800,000 a year. All he do is detail cars. That's his gift. That's what he loved to do. You've got to identify that gift. Now listen to me. When you see people in life, when you're standing on the cliff of life and you see people soaring by, when you see people soaring, going to exotic places, you hear about them doing wonderful things. Maybe you look up the street and your neighbor just gets a car every year, every 2 years. You know, how is he doing that? Have you ever thought, maybe this person right here has identified their gift and is living in their gift? Because your Bible says, this your Bible says, your gift will make room for you. Your gift, not your education. You go get an education, that's nice. But if you don't use your gift, that education ain't gonna take you so far, man. I know a lot of people got degrees, man, and they ain't even using them. It's your gift. But the only way for you to soar is you got to jump. You got to take that gift that's packed away on your back. You got to jump off that cliff and pull that cord. That gift opens up and provides the soar. If you don't ever use it, you're gonna just go to work. And if you're getting up going to work on a job every day that you hate going to, that ain't living, man. You just existed. At one point in time, you ought to see what living's like. But the only way to see what living like, you got to jump. And here's the problem. Let me just be real with you. When you first jump, let me tell you something. Your parachute will not open right away. I'm sorry. I wish I could tell you it did, but it don't. When you jump, it's not going to open right away. You're going to hit them rocks. You're going to get some skin tore off on them cliffs. You're going to get all your clothes tore off. You're going to get some cuts on you. You're going to be bleeding pretty bad. But eventually, the parachute has to open. That is a promise of God. That ain't a theory. That's a promise. His promises is true, because listen to me. You cannot name one single thing God has not gotten you through. Name it. And if he ain't got you through it, he currently pulling you through it right now. And the living proof of it is you sitting in here. If he hadn't got you through it, you wouldn't even be here. So if he ain't never not got you through it, why would he not let your parachute open? It has to open, man. But now you got to jump, though. Now, here's another thing. You can play it safe and deal without the cuts and the tears. And you can stand on that cliff of life forever safe. But if you don't jump, I got another promise I can make you. Your parachute will never open. You'll never know. You'll never know what God really had for you. See, your God has a wonderful life for you. Once again, I'm going to refer to your Bible. Now, you go down there, you memorize these scriptures, you're going to apply them to yourself. Your Bible says that he comes to give you life and give you life more abundantly. If I were you, I would jump. Because that's the only way to get to that abundant life. You got to jump, man. You got to take a chance. Now, when I get through talking, there are those of you who discuss this in the car. Well, I got bills, and I got bills. Whether you stay on the cliff or you jump, you're going to have bills. Well, if I quit my job, I'm going to ruin my credit. If you got a job, you're living check to check. Even if you got A1 credit, you can't buy nothing else no damn way. At one point in time, man, do yourself a favor. Go see what God really do. God hold you up, man. He ain't gonna let you fall. He ain't bring you this far, let you fall. Do yourself a favor, man. Before you leave this world, before you die, jump. Just jump one time. Just jump. Thank you very much.
It's pretty good, right? It's inspiring to me. You know, I was thinking about jumping. You know, jumping, it's just falling until your parachute opens. That's all it is. But you got to jump, right? I'm scared of heights, so that's a little bit of a thing for me. But sometimes when you are when you're fallen in those things where you've jumped into, it's a little unsettling in those times when it just feels like falling. But trust God in that process. Trust God to just jump. You know, when He calls you to it, trust Him to keep you in it, because He will. And man, it's just it's crazy to miss an opportunity because of fear. You know, there's a lot of things that we operate out of, that I operate out of specifically. It's out of fear, but I have a bigger fear of missed opportunity. I have a bigger fear of not doing what He's called me to. I don't want to miss out on what He's has called me to in my life, because I know that it's bigger than what I could ever imagine for myself. I know it. And so I don't ever miss that opportunity because of that. So don't miss an opportunity because you have no plan in action. Do something every day toward the goal that you have. We talked a little bit about different goals. You know, you might be in college right now and you're thinking, I started this and I'm not really sure that I want to do this major now. You know, I'm not really sure that I want to do this. I'd really like to go on a missions trip to another country and do something like that. All of those things are goals. Make a plan to make those things happen. It's scary sometimes especially when you're in college and you're like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is the plan. I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to get this degree and I'm going to have this job. And then you get about halfway through sometimes and people are like, I don't know if I want to do that. My brother did that. He went to school for, I think, math, and then he changed like halfway through to history instead. And then he changed to German or something. And I don't know, he changed like 3 or 4 times. He's getting ready to retire from the Army. So, you know, the way that we start doesn't always look like the way that we finish, right? So it's just, you know, do those things. You know, there's some things we talked a little bit about, you know, friends maybe that maybe we need to get away from. There's some things that we need to be brave enough to get away from. There's some, you know, kind of ugly things out there in our world that we deal with sometimes. There's addictions and different things like that. We need to be brave to take that step to get away from those things. And it's not easy, and I would never tell you that it's going to be. But please, please, please just trust God in the process in that, because He will see you through it. He will see you through those things. And process looks, you know, looks ugly sometimes. You know, I believe in a God who is a Savior that will pull you up from wherever you are and meet you where you're at and move you in a new direction because you're off the path the way that you know, and the way that you should be. You know, probably, you know about the prodigal son in the Bible. You know, he left his house and he went out and lived in the world, and they call it riotous living, and he did all these things that he shouldn't have been doing. And where did he end up? In the hog pen, right? He ended up taking care of pigs, taking care of hogs. That's, you know, that's a pretty bad place to be, right? Because what do pigs eat? Slop and all that kind of thing. If that's where they're working, he's not really making much money. What do you think he's eating? You know, we get in situations sometimes where we're surrounded by things that we really shouldn't be surrounded by. Those are not the things that are for us. And so what did he ended up doing after the hog pen? He went back to his father's house, right? You know, I believe in the God that is waiting for us to turn around from the situation where we are and come back to Him with open arms and running like crazy through the town to come, you know, to come hug us and putting the robe back on our back and the ring on our finger and throwing the party for us. I believe in that God. You know, we all need that God, because we all in some way get to that kind of point in our life. Maybe not as extreme, but we all need that Savior God sometimes. But man, I know, I believe in a God that keeps us too. I believe in a God that if we believe in him, if we believe in the process, if we believe in the journey that he's put us on, if we follow that navigational beacon to wherever he's called us to go, man, I believe in a God who will keep us there. I believe in a God that when you might jump off that cliff and that parachute doesn't open and you get skinned up a little bit, like Steve was talking about, I still believe in a God who picks you back up and says, try it again. Because, you know, sometimes where he's even called you to might not work the same time. Maybe the timing didn't work out. Maybe there's a lesson to be learned. Maybe there's a hunger inside of you to do it that needs to develop. You need to be hungry for the place God's called you to be. You know, if God's called you to do whatever, you know, if he called me to youth ministry and I didn't really want to do it, if you're not hungry to do youth ministry, that is a bad place to be. You know, because it's, you know, we're crazy doing this youth camp. I don't know if you know this or not. We're all crazy. You know, because 2 weeks before you got here, this youth camp wasn't here. You know, we made this youth camp in the past few weeks. You know, we turned our storehouse where we give away food into our boys' dorm. We turned our multi-purpose room into the girls' dorm. We turned our Sunday school rooms into the girls' dorm. You know, we added all these things. We're crazy to do this. You have to, you know, you have to be hungry. You have to have passion for what God's called you to be willing to put in the work. So you know what? A lot of times I think when we have those moments where we skin the knees and rub the elbows and all those types of things, I think that is creating a hunger inside of us to want to do it even more. Because when you want something and it doesn't work, it just makes you want it more because you're like, oh, I'm going to do it now. You know, I'm not playing around now. We're going to do it now. You know, somebody tells you you can't do something, oh, that'll put me right on the course of what I want. Because when you know God's called you to it, I mean, you have to be hungry for it. And so, you know, God is creating a hunger inside of you guys this week. You know, and you'll get out of these services what you want, what you put into it, and all those things like Daniel's talking a little bit about this morning. But man, if you, you know, if you came to find out what God has for you this week, you'll find it here. But to take that a step further, if you came this week to find out what God wants from you, you'll get all of who he is. And when I say all of who he is, you'll get all the hope and all the peace and all the strength and all the bravery and all the healing and all the restoration in your lives for the situations that you need. You get all of those things. When you rely on him to direct your path and put you where you need to go, all that backing that comes with him is behind you. You know, it's that that tailwind that's coming behind you. It's that draft, if you're a NASCAR fan, that's pushing you forward. It's all of those things that will just propel you toward where he wants you to go. Because if you're, you know, if you're just doing what you think you want to do and you're like, yeah, I believe in God, but I'm just going to do what I want to do, you can do that. It's going to be a little bit harder because when you have the force of God behind you, there is no stopping you in what he's called you to do. No stopping you. Trust in that because, man, it's empowering to know you're doing what you need to do. You know, there's been times in my life where, you know, I was just like, you know, I don't know, you know, kind of shy. You know, I don't know if this is, you know, if this is what I'm doing. I don't know that I'm good enough to do these things. I don't have the background. I don't have the family background. I don't have any of these things. But, you know, once you get to the point in your life and you all get there where you know that God is behind you, propelling you toward those things that he's called you to, even when you come to those people who say, well, I would have done it a different way, or, you know, I don't know that I would have done it like that, or who does she think she is doing that, or who does he think he is doing that, none of those voices matter when you know that you're doing what God's called you to. None of those voices matter, because then you can just say, you know what, you can like me, or you can like this or whatever if you want to, or if not. But it's your loss if you don't, because I know that I'm doing what God's called me to do. I know that. And that, man, that is peace in your heart right there. that's motivation, and that helps me sleep at night a lot, to know that I'm doing what God's called me to. You guys want that peace in your life. Trust me, you want that peace in your life. So, you know, trust in that. Ask God this week. You know, when you're up here worshiping, ask God, God, what is it that you want from me? You know, and I'm not talking about asking, hey, what do you want from me? Because I know that if I don't do something for you, you don't love me. That isn't what I'm talking about. That isn't what this is. Because I want to tell you right now, if you were unclear about that, God loves every single person in this room unconditionally, and nothing you can do will take that away. Okay? So I just want to be clear about that. Okay? But ask him what he wants from you. Because if you listen to what he wants from you, it is, you'll go back to your homes from here more empowered than you've ever been. Because now you have a clear direction. And you know what? You have that compass. Have you guys ever seen a compass? A compass always points north, right? No matter which way you turn, your compass is always pointing in a northern direction. So you might be headed west, but the arrow is still letting you know this is north, okay? So when you go back home, you may be tousled in all kinds of different directions, and all kinds of different things may come to you, but you'll always know the direction that God has called you to, because you now have that internal compass inside of you that's saying, okay, this is what I'm wanting from you. And you know what? You'll get there, and it's a step, and it's a step, and it's a step, because when you're faithful in the little things, God will show himself faithful in the big things, and you can walk that out and trust that he has your best interest at heart always. Okay? That's all I have today. Go ahead, teams. Okay. All right, so this is what we're going to do from now until lunchtime. We're going to go ahead and break you guys into your teams to go work a little bit more on your songs, and kind of, you know, hone those a little bit. So go ahead and wherever you met yesterday with your team, meet them there again today. They should have all their stuff.